All right, well, that being said, now most of you, when I say this, I'm going to say it in such a way that you're going to look at me and go, well, I don't get that from you, Pastor, because it seems like I don't ever shut up. Well, that's kind of what I do up here, so I'm not quiet, right? But anybody that really knows me knows that I like my times of quiet. You know, Jody's over there going inside of her head, yep. He just likes his time of quiet. And I like my quiet time for the simple fact it just allows me to calm down, to center myself with, you know, and to think about the Lord and my life and what's going on, and to do, you know, to reflect in my life. And when I sit, it might be in my house, it might be somewhere else, it might be here in the front, it might be somewhere else in the church, it might be outside. It just kind of depends on what kind of a mood I'm in at the time, where I just sit down and I am just quiet. My wife will generally come up and go, well, what are you thinking about? You ever have that, guys, where your wife comes up and says, what are you thinking about? And what's our answer?
Nothing.
Right? And then that's the way it is. She will come in and she will, you know, it's like, okay. And then after she asks me that and I say nothing, she'll look at me and go, all right, I understand. He's in his quiet time. So she'll leave me be for a while. And I'll come out later on. But when I do these quiet times, I do them for different reasons. And some of the reasons I do them is because I really like to observe the things going on around me. I like to pay attention to what's happening around me. And that might be, again, in the church setting. It might be in an outside setting. You know, Lord forbid it should be in my car setting, because I'm usually paying attention to other drivers and I'm not calm during that time. You know the road rage kind of thing, right? It's all raise your hand and you guys know who you are. But in those times I do find myself there, I might be in different areas. I could be sitting in a department store, a mall. I could be sitting outside. I could be in the middle of a busy, you know, time of, well, even Rice Fest concert going on, where I can find myself just being still for a moment and watching people. Now, it's not creepy watching people. I watch people specific, you know, in general circumstances. Sometimes I watch specific people for a reason, and it's not for creepy reasons. Get that out of your mind. It's not for creepy reasons. But I do that because it helps me to understand. It helps me understand how people think and why they do the things they do. I would dare say it. I would lend it to even understanding why sometimes the world is the way it is. But it helps me to understand and how to do those, you know, to have that moment of wisdom to say, Lord, okay. And it's like, okay, Pastor, you're telling me about this. Are we getting to a point here? And we are getting to a point. Because even on Sunday mornings, there's times that I stand in here and I just listen to everybody. I listen to, as my brother would say, all y'all. I listen to you. And I listen to what you're doing. I listen to how you're worshiping and how you're singing. I listen to the feeling behind it, the heart that is there. And it makes me happy when I do these things. Because I get understanding, I get wisdom, I get a connection out of it. I listen to you as you praise God. I even listen sometimes as the world goes around outside of us to saying, okay, Lord, this is your world. This is what you've created. Sometimes I need to listen to get that understanding of what the Lord is doing in this world and why this world is the way it is. But I'm just listening. And when I'm listening like that, when I'm really in that still moment, I find myself in a place of calmness. I find myself in a world that is so stressed out, and I'm at a sense of peace about things. Because I take a moment to just stop doing what I'm doing. And I just pay attention. And sometimes we do these things, we do this to worship God. We just stop. Remember how God said that sometimes he comes to us in that still, small, what? Voice. And if that you're running around and you're doing all these crazy things, you can't hear God. But we're also called to do something else when we worship our Lord and our Savior. And that's to be loud. Yeah, we are allowed to be loud when we're worshiping God. We're allowed to carry on. We're allowed to be quiet in reflective moments, but we're also allowed to shout with all your power, all your lungs, all the air you can put behind it. Think about a screaming baby. You know, when we talk about a screaming baby, are pushing with all their lungs, right? We are allowed to connect with God in such a manner that we can be loud. We can actually worship God in this manner. We can shout things from the top of our lungs like we are on the top of a building shouting to God, and that's actually worshiping. You guys know that? You can be loud. It's great to do these things. We do them with instruments sometimes. We do it with our voices, of course. We shout and we worship God high up in the air with our hands. You know, sometimes even last week we learned that we can even kneel before God and be worshiping. But I want to tell you, it's okay to use your voice in a loud manner to worship God. And there's a specific Hebrew word that they talk about, and it's the word praise in Hebrew. It's called Shabak. Shabak talks about, and it means to shout to God. We praise to God by shouting to Him, by shouting out loud, by addressing, by praising Him in a loud tone of adoration. That we can Shabak to Him, and He understands that it's worship because we're crying out to Him in such a way that it knows that we have a tone of adoration for Him. There's one specific event in the Bible where when I say that, hey, there's a loud cry to God that really pops into my mind, and it comes out of the book of Joshua. Perhaps you guys know, especially when I say the book of Joshua, which one I'm talking about. It's the one where Joshua has just been put in charge of the army, this great army, and they're going to this great walled city. And this great walled city is fortified beyond belief, and Joshua has no idea what he's going to do. And the Lord comes to him and says, I want you to do this. I want you to go out there. I want you to take your army, and I want you to what? I want you to march around that city 6 times with priests playing trumpets, but I don't want your army at all to utter a word. And they do this for 6 days. 6 days, Joshua gets his crew together, and they go out and they march around this city. And they're carrying the ark with them, and the priests are blowing the trumpets and so on and so forth. But the rest of the people don't utter a sound. Imagine how that is, as somebody looking over the wall and you see this great army down there and the trumpets going, but nobody else utters a sound. That kind of spooked you out maybe a little bit. But on that 7th day, the Lord says, I want you to go out here. I want you to march around that place 7 times. And then that last time, your priests are going to let out a loud trumpet. And what are you going to do? You're going to what? You're going to yell. So they do this. Joshua 6:20 says, when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted. And the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. This great walled city, the wall around it collapsed. And they walked right into this place like they owned it. They shouted. And they didn't shout just to cry out. They didn't shout just to yell. They shouted in such a way that the Lord knew it was an adoration to Him. That it was a war cry for the Israelite army on this city. That it was a holy roar. We just sang it about having a holy roar for our Lord and our Savior. That we would shout out with our voices in a holy roar so that we can worship Him with adoration and with everything else that we have inside of us. It's a holy roar, folks. It's such an incredible thing to have a holy roar inside of you. Have you ever had a holy roar inside of you? Something so wonderful to have is a holy roar. Because we're called to have a holy roar. Because what does it do? It signifies our praises to our Lord and our Savior. It signifies our heart to our Lord and our Savior. It signifies a worshiping of Him. Not just about Him, but to Him. That we would have and carry on in such a way, you know, declaring like David did in his Psalms. Even when he was out in the desert, he would claim out loud. He had said, even like Psalm 63, where he says, "Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you." Right? What does it say? "I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands." But that holy roar is there because of that first line, "because your love is better than life." That we carry on in such a way praising Him because His love for us is better than the life that we have. It's truly an act of praise when you have a holy roar. It's truly an act of praise when you have that inside to say, "Your love is better than life." And we recognize this fact. We recognize the fact that we praise in Him when we sing and we sing loud. It's understandable. We can readily connect to that, to understanding that if we're singing from the deepness of our lungs, we're projecting it and we're projecting it to God, that we're singing in such a way that we understand that it's an act of worship, an act of praise. We shout it out sometimes in prayer. You ever been in that moment when you're at the end of your rope, or maybe you're angry or something, that you shouted at God? Shouting out like that is not always wrong. To project with your voice is not always wrong. We do it in songs. We do it in instruments. You know, we do it many different ways. We even shout it out sometimes when we're dancing. Now, nobody wants to see me dance. There's no examples up here. But we do it in certain ways. And everybody understands what we're doing. We elevate our hands and our voices to God. And all people come together and are called to shout out to God. Did you understand that you're called to shout out to God? You're not always called to sit there in such a subdued way. Sometimes you just need to bring it and to shout out to Him. Especially us as His children, we're called to shout out to God. To be a part of what He has going on. To truly rejoice in who He is. Isaiah talks about how we're supposed to shout out to Him. Where he says that we shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion. For great is He, the Holy One of Israel. We're supposed to shout out and sing for joy. Give a mighty woohoo! And be a part of that. To use that inside of us. We are supposed to do those things. Because not only as His children are we asked to do that, are we told to do that, all nations, all peoples are told to shout out and to extol Him. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol Him, all you peoples. For great is His love towards us. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. One of the ways we do this is we use our voice to shout it out. I hear it sometimes. Well, not even sometimes. I hear it most of the times when you guys are singing. When you guys are praising the Lord in here. Even in between songs, when you guys are using your voices in such a way that you're extolling Him and you're worshiping Him. You're crying out, "Hallelujah, praise you, Lord." You're crying out amens. Those are holy roars. But this word, Shabbat, that we're talking about, the one that leads us into knowing a holy roar, means so much more than just that. Because Shabbat also means to be calm or still, to soothe. You know, the Lord has been soothing things down for quite some time now. He is the one, as written in Psalms, that stilled the roaring seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. That's Psalm 65, verse 7. And he says that the Lord stilled the roaring seas, the roaring of the waves. Verse 8, it talks about how we are supposed to be in awe at his wonders of doing that. Where the sunrise comes up, the evening fades. So it means so much more. It means to be still sometimes, to be calm, to be soothing. There's a special area in the Bible that I love, and you guys will get it after I bring it up, and especially in the book of Mark, where it talks about how Jesus calms the seas. Do you remember what happened in there? Grab your Bibles a second. If you have your Bibles or your devices or something, just grab your Bibles a second. And I want you to turn to Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4. And if you're there at chapter 4 right now, I want you to find verse 39. Because in 39, we see the direct amplification of what Shabbat is when Jesus does something very special. Mark chapter 4, verse 39, it goes like this. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Be quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. You guys remember what was going on when Jesus did that? If you look in the few verses before that, it says Jesus calms a storm. It talks about how, you know, when that evening they went to the other side and the crowds were all there, and Jesus said, "Hey, we need to get out of here a little bit." But when they were in the boat, there was also other boats with them. But he said a furious squall came up, and I'm reading out of verse 37. It says a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. But what was Jesus doing? Jesus was sleeping. Jesus was being still. And Jesus, after his disciples had gotten up and said, "Teacher, don't you care about what's going on? Don't you care about us?" What did he do? He rebuked the wind. He rebuked the waves. He calmed everything down. And he soothed his disciples. That was a way that Jesus praised the Heavenly Father at the time, that he said, he rebuked it, and he added this soothing, this calmness to the area around him, not only in the wind and the waves, but also in the hearts of those around him. That they would find themselves praising God by the mere thing of being quiet and quieting things down. And when this happens, this is where we find awe in his infinite powers and what he's got, who he is and what he does. We find we ourselves and in the fact that he truly loves us. That God loves us. And he would come in and he would just quiet things down. He would soothe us. You ever been soothed by the Lord? What did you find yourself doing after that? Did you find yourself maybe praising his name and worshiping him? Seeing Jesus, just seeing how much he truly cares for us, cares for you. This word, Shabak, is a very strange word to me because it means to shout aloud and it means to be calm and still. It's like, how can it have both meanings? How can it mean the same, you know, same thing as praise, but do it in two different ways, the same word? Maybe there's a couple phrases that might, you know, lend themselves to you understanding more. Have you guys ever heard the phrase, your silence speaks volumes? Or how about less means more? Sometimes it's in that calmness, in the absence of something, that we find greater implications for it. When we find ourselves in that moment of calmness, we understand even more if we'd have been, you know, shouting out loud, or we'd have been doing something different out loud. We find that moment of clarity. And when I say these two different phrases, they may be a little simplistic for the true meaning of this word, but it's something that we can readily grasp onto and understand. That sometimes silence speaks volumes. That truly, at points and times, less means more. It gives imagery. It helps us to understand the truly aspect of this word and what it means to praise God. And that's what it's about. It's about praising God. It's about showing Him praise. It's about worshiping Him in such a way that there's no misunderstanding that we're doing it. And the misunderstanding doesn't come from God's point of view, it comes from ours. God knows whether you're praising Him or worshiping or not. You probably would say that you're worshiping or praising Him. Sometimes we can be doing things and not worshiping and praising God, even though they think we're doing it. But when we have our hearts in such a way, when we praise in such a manner, we can do it loudly, we can do it quietly, and they're both praising God. Sometimes it's inside this calmness that we truly find ourselves shouting His name the loudest, of knowing truly who He is. You know, there's been times it can be when you're praying to God and in your heart you're leaping from joy. In your heart you're just so joyful and so peaceful and so content. But on the outside you have, your eyes just have tears coming out of them. And you can find yourself praying to God in such a way in your heart that you start to leak from your face. That your eyes will tear for the fact of it, the inside of your heart just can't hold it anymore. Find yourself in such a way that God truly knows that He is inside of you. That Holy Spirit is there inside of you. And you're truly in God's presence. This is where we find that our connection is actually the strongest. And I'm sure you've been there with at least other people, with maybe your family members, where you have tears of joy, you have things going on, you have, you know, maybe with friends, but most certainly with Jesus. But it's similar in such a way. It's about having a sense of calmness, a soothing calmness. And it's good that we have these times. It's good that we have times of this stillness in it, but we also need to have the times of shouting. We also need to have the times of loud adoration. Because often we, as, well, Midwest people especially, but even more generally church people, we can take the quietness to an extreme. We really do. We take the quietness to an extreme. We believe that sometimes that it's really irreverent for us to make noise during church. I'm sure you've been there. That at a point in time, it's like if somebody utters a sound, that it's irreverent because they're talking or some other sound is going on, that they're being irreverent and they're not worshiping or praising God because they're being a little bit noisy. Or perhaps somebody is singing louder than anybody else, and in that moment that we think, well, that's just disrespectful. There are times that that happens. And yes, being reverent to God is fundamental. But being reverent to God is not always quiet. There are times you need to shout for joy. There are times you need to shout out to God. There are times that you need to be angry in a loud voice to God so He knows and understands what's going on. He reads it anyway. You might as well let the energy loose. If we weren't supposed to be loud at some times, we wouldn't be told to clap our hands. We wouldn't be told to sing out loud. And if you doubt my word that we're supposed to clap our hands, we're supposed to sing out loud, you can take a look at Psalm 47:1, where it says that, you know what? Clap your hands. Shout to God with cries of joy. King David did what when he's bringing the ark back? He shouted, he danced. Somebody thought he was acting a fool. That didn't work out well for them. Because he was showing adoration in a loud way of shouting to God and not being quiet because it was a joyous occasion. How many joyous occasions, you know, deserve a loud, resounding sound? There's many of them. Think about any party that you've gone to. Think about what happens at that party. Maybe it's a wedding. Maybe it's a birthday party. Maybe it's an anniversary. Well, it can even be this party, you know, we call the fellowship meal we have here. Think about what happens during those times. Think about the noise level in there. Think about the laughter. Think about the conversation. Think about the children playing. Think about how you're praising God during that time. How you're worshiping Him in those environments. We do it during those times. Why can't we do it when we come together for God? Why don't we raise our voice for God at that point in time? Because praising God is truly a joyous occasion. We're supposed to have fun doing it. It's not all about, you know what, come in and, you know, I just sit here, my hands by my side, and we do nothing. You know, the pastor gets up and he talks and we do these things, and the next thing you know, we're praying and then we're out the door. That's not what it's about. It's about coming together. It's about coming together as a family. It's about interacting with each other. It's about worshiping God together with each other, praising His holy name like we can only do. Sometimes we have to really be an example and praise and shout to God in all the ways that we are called to. It's truly enjoyable to do that. But we've trained too many generations of churchgoers in that noise is not allowed. We train too many generations to say, if your child is being a little bit noisy, then it's like, oh, shh, be quiet. You know what? I love the sound of children here. Children is life. That is the sound of life. I love the fact when you guys interact and you do things and you say something, even when you give me a hard time, because that's interaction, that's life. And when we're having that connection up here, God knows we're worshiping Him as we do it. That we're having that time of praising His holy name. Sometimes we're afraid to do that. We're afraid to express ourselves because we're afraid, you know, that people are going to look at us weird. We're afraid that, you know what? What is somebody going to think about what I say? What if I say it at the wrong time? What if I do the wrong thing? Who cares? Who cares? We're doing it for the Lord, and we're doing it in such a way as to be respectful of God. We can never do it wrong. That's who we're called to be. We're called to be zealous for God. And how do we get zealous for God? We put all of ourselves into it. It's about being part of that atmosphere. We can see that the word Shabbat is God telling us it's okay to be quiet and it's okay to be loud. It's okay for us to do these things. We're told to do these things. We're told to be calm in certain circumstances, and we're told to be boisterous and loud in worshiping God and others. It's okay that we do these things. So when we come together, it's okay that we celebrate the Lord. And if you make a little noise doing it, well, I'm certainly good with that. And I hope you guys are too. Because we're going to come together in just a few moments and we're going to praise God. And we're going to sing to Him. And we're going to lift our voices. But if you find at a time that you want to just be calm and be still, that's okay too. Take the time to be calm and be still. Because whether you're loud or whether you're quiet, as long as you're worshiping God, you can't do it wrong. And we're going to worship God because He is worth it in so many ways. We are encouraged to be worshipers of God. And if you wish to clap your hands, that's great. If you don't, that's great. If you wish to be still, to be soothing, please do so. If you wish to raise your voice in loud adoration, that's great too. So we're going to stand up and we're going to sing.